When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-GOLD.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, hour number three, Tuesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. The Trump trial has already ended for the day, evidently. Trump is speaking right outside of the courtroom. We're going to analyze this in greater detail, but let's go listen to what he's saying live right now.
What's going on in this country now should have never happened, but of course the Ukraine war would have never happened. The Israeli attack would have never happened. Inflation would have never happened. We have the worst president in the history of our country, and he's the one that has us in all these different lawsuits. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. So that was, we caught the tail in there. We'll see if there was anything that he said at the front end. I think very similar probably to what was said before. Now, let's dive into Buck. I was surprised that this is out there, but this was published a little bit earlier today in a guest essay for the New York Times opinion piece. I thought the Bragg case against the headline. I thought the Bragg case against Trump was a legal embarrassment. Now I think it's a historic mistake. This is by a man named Jed Sugarman. He is a law professor at BU. And this is going a little bit into the weeds, but I would encourage you guys to read this. It'll be linked up at clayandbuck.com. I give credit, which is rare. We've given credit to Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, and now we're giving credit to the New York Times for publishing this. What he says, and this goes to the essence of his piece, is that there are three real major issues that he believes are impossible to overlook. And I'm just going to summarize these. It's a little bit complicated. It's almost like in this analysis, you're almost getting a law degree. For those of you who remember, we talked about O.J. Simpson dying a couple weeks ago. This, in the way that everybody almost got a law license by just following the O.J. Simpson case closely, similarly, Bush v. Gore in 2000, you are almost getting a behind-the-scenes look at how a law license is gained. But he points to three big things that I'm going to summarize here. First, and I'm reading from him, he could find no previous case of any state prosecutor relying on the Federal Election Campaign Act as a direct crime or a predicate crime. And so the first part here is, this is a big deal. Effectively, Alvin Bragg is trying to use a state law to prosecute a violation of federal campaign finance law. Second, remember, In order to elevate this case, this is his second argument. In order to elevate this case from a misdemeanor to a felony, there has to be a second crime. And the second crime that is underlying here still has not been specified. This is crazy to me. By Alvin Bragg, he gave four different potential criteria that would support it. Merchan accepted three of those arguments, but they still haven't even specified the second crime, which would allow this to be elevated to a felony. And the third here is there is no New York precedent to allow this case to be occurring. Again, I would encourage you to go read the case yourself to a large degree, but those are three major arguments that he is making here. And so this is why I've said, and everybody got so fired up at me, if I were on this jury, I would vote not guilty because this is legally insufficient, in my opinion, to be able to justify a conviction. I'm looking at this from a legal perspective. I think there's a decent chance this will all be struck down and eventually it will go all the way, I think, to the United States Supreme Court. Now, that's if there's a conviction. What he points out, which I think is really significant here, is he says that he thinks the Trump team failed by not trying to make an argument. If they had raised the issue of selective or vindictive prosecution, they could have delayed the trial past Election Day, even if they lost at each federal stage. So he's not just saying it's not a great crime. He's saying he does not a crime as it's constituted. Also that he doesn't think Trump's legal team has provided the best defense possible for him. So all of this rolled in to say most decent and reasoned legal analysts think this Alvin Bragg case is a total farce. And I give credit to the New York Times for actually carrying this piece. But if you just watch MSNBC or CNN, you would get the idea that this is a very legitimate prosecution. And the reality is it is not.
It's absurd. It's indefensible. There's no good faith explanation. It's effectively the legal equivalent of creating a carnival dunk tank. And Donald Trump is sitting on the little seat. Remember those things? You know, and you would throw the ball, and if you hit the lever, the guy drops into the dunk tank.
Oh, I've been in a dunk tank before. You ever had to sit in a dunk tank?
Oh, yeah. Sitting in the dunk tank is fun. I mean, let's be honest. You know, you kind of want
some brutal.
And then somebody always they just walk up and they slap it with their hand. And it's like, well, you know, you're really not supposed to do that. You're supposed to hit it with the ball. But anyway, the dunk tank, you know, sometimes you got to go in. This is a dunk tank in New York City that Alvin Bragg is currently operating. It is a dunk tank with a former president of the United States, sitting there, and it is making a mockery of the criminal justice system. This is really frightening. You know, one of the things we often talk about, you know, what's different about America from other places? Clay, there are other countries with the rule of law, but it is still something rare to be in America or to believe in American justice in the way that we all do. In a lot of other countries, first of all, there's basically no justice system to speak of, but even when they try, the system that we have, you have as a citizen, as an American, you have a far better shot than you would in any other place. Once you start to have Americans lose faith in the criminal justice system, you start to wonder how different are we from a lot of these countries that we think have lost their way? How different are we from places where the powerful rule and everybody just does what they're told?
And also, what happens if Trump is convicted here? This is why I look ahead to 2024 in 6 months. If Trump loses this race, then the lesson that Democrats are going to take, be quite certain, is lawfare works because they have an unbelievably awful candidate. Look at what they're arguing in favor of Joe Biden. They're going to go all in on, they're already running these ads. Police officers are going to pull you over and make women take pregnancy tests. They're going to go with The Handmaid's Tale to terrify women. And they're going to argue otherwise? Democracy's at stake while they try to put their chief political rival in prison for the rest of his life. if they can win this race, they will say, we'll never have a worse candidate than Biden. And yet with lawfare, we were able to win. We were able to beat Trump. They'll try this again. And if you're out there and you think, oh, Trump's uniquely awful, they'll never be able to find something to peg on anyone else, I'm sorry to tell you, you're wrong. Every one of you just about listening to us right now, if a federal prosecutor decided to go through everything that you have done in the last 5 years of your life and did a deep dive, that federal prosecutor, I'm sorry to say, could find something to charge you with too. And you can sit out there and you can say, not me, no way. This is the truth.
If that felt like an exaggeration, people like you and me have been saying this for a long time. If it felt like an exaggeration before, how could anyone think it's an exaggeration now? Donald Trump is being prosecuted for the way that his lawyer recorded an NDA.
Yes.
The crime, you know, even when we talk about, so there's malum in se, malum prohibitum, right? Malum in se, hitting your neighbor over the head with a shovel and killing him because you don't like him. It doesn't matter what the law is. It doesn't matter if you're in New York or Kentucky or, you know, Kathmandu. Like, that's wrong. That's evil, right? You can't do that. That's malum in se. It's bad because it's malum prohibitum, bad because the state says so, right? But even in malum prohibitum cases, there's some explanation as to why the state, you know, it would create disorder, or the state couldn't fund itself, or, you know, whatever, right? The state is a party to a wrong in some way. Now, that can be abused, and there are things that are malum prohibitum that I don't think should be. I just bring it up because in this instance, the wrong is the public's right to know about this because it would have changed how they view an election. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, this is a purely political crime. The state wasn't deprived of funds. The state wasn't repudiated in some way, or there wasn't some, you know, issue of he just felt like the state had a right to know this, or rather the public had a right to know this. The whole thing is preposterous.
Even the way that they are trying to characterize it, they're saying this is the hush money trial. This is the hush money case. Hush money is legal. This is important. It's legal to pay hush money. Trump did not break the law by paying Stormy Daniels $130,000 to sign an NDA and not tell her story. Hush money is legal. Now, sometimes, this happened with David Letterman, some of you will remember, an attempt to get hush money can be considered extortion. Remember in the David Letterman case, the woman, I think used to, and I'm paraphrasing here, so if I get some of the details wrong, the woman used to work for David Letterman, had a relationship with him, said, I'm going to go public unless you pay me off. Letterman went to authorities and they arrested the woman for extorting him.
No, I thought it was the husband. The husband extorted him.
Okay, maybe.
Woman. Yeah,
the husband of the woman she was
said,
involved too,
I'm going
right?
to sell you a screenplay about a guy who does a late night talk show who has an affair. And it was a thinly veiled extortion scheme. And Letterman went to, if my memory serves, that is how it went down.
Okay, that may be. But the point on this is, usually, if David Letterman had just paid, the hush money itself is not a crime. So even when they're saying this is the hush money case, no. It's not even a hush money case. It is a allegation of a bookkeeping irregularity. And I think this is also important, and I don't know if it'll eventually come out at trial. I actually think the reason that Trump paid Stormy Daniels had nothing to do with the election. I think he didn't want Melania to hear this story. I think he was actually trying to protect his marriage as opposed to his viability as an electoral candidate, because I don't think many people would have been impacted by this story in terms of what they thought about Trump. I think Trump's marriage could have been impacted.
Also, there's so many things here. We sit here and go around over and over. The federal government that would be the authority for a federal election said there's no crime here.
Correct.
But Alvin Bragg, so they wouldn't even charge, yes. They wouldn't even bring a case. But Alvin Bragg is saying, I'm going to bring something based on New York law, and I'm going to use the federal law that you didn't think Trump violated as the excuse to elevate the New York state charge to a felony.
Correct.
And then I'm going to do a repetitive count maneuver where you have 34 instances of the same thing because of each time it was listed anywhere or sent in an email or whatever. I mean, this guy, Alvin Bragg, is a lunatic.
Yes. And if you were on this jury, if I had been fortunate enough to be seated on this jury, I can tell you that I would have 100% said not guilty. Because I've analyzed all this. I've looked at it. There's nothing, unless there's some crazy story that none of us have heard, which I'll leave out there as a possibility. Hasn't happened yet. Unless there's some detail of this case that changes my perceptions of it completely, as a matter of law, I don't see any way that a person who is a functional, fair juror with a brain that works could vote guilty here. I think you're obligated to vote not guilty. Now, rigged jury system, a lot of people hate Trump. They don't care about the details. But what we just ran through, the New York Times editorial that we just discussed, actually makes this very sound legal argument. We'll talk with Andy McCarthy in about, 13 or 14 minutes about some of these details, that this is BS. And that anyone who actually cares about the precedent of BS being established as law to go after political opponents should vote not guilty as well. Mother's Day is going to be here before you know it. No reason to put off your gift selection when Legacy Box has a great offer for you, 60% off their regular prices. This Mother's Day, you can give the gift of a lifetime of memories made together, digitized forever with Legacy Box. An opportunity to take each of your stored videotapes, photos, old family film, and have brand new digital files that are protected and will last for a lifetime for your mom, for your grandma, for your wife. Great gift Legacy Box makes simple for your mom. I'm sure your mom or grandma, a lot of old media, old VCRs, a variety. 1.5 million families have already trusted Legacy Box with their memories. You send the old tapes, films, and photos to them. They transfer all those memories onto digital files and return everything you send them, plus brand new digital files. We've both relied on Legacy Box to do this for our families. What you get back in the way of family memories and entertainment, priceless. Go to LegacyBox.com/Clay for the best Mother's Day sale ever. 60% off regular prices. That's LegacyBox.com/Clay for 60% off.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
All right, so we just had Trump speaking. We went to it live for a moment there, and then he finished up. Probably the greatest speech in history. We have a clip for you, but also Andy McCarthy joining shortly. We talk about the trial stuff. But he spoke, and it's interesting because he's speaking about how he's not allowed to speak. As in, there's the gag order issue that is still being litigated and fought over and all the rest. This is cut 26. He was just speaking as the trial went into recess for today. Play it. Cut 26. Oh, they don't have it yet. Well, that's a shame, because Trump was talking about how there's an unconstitutional gag order on him. So we can ask Andy McCarthy about, oh, we do have it. Let's play that now.
We have a gag order, which to me is totally unconstitutional. I'm not allowed to talk, but people are allowed to talk about me. So they can talk about me. They can say whatever they want. They can lie. But I'm not allowed to say anything. I just have to sit back and look at why a conflicted judge has ordered me to have a gag order. I don't think anybody's ever said anything like this. I'd love to talk to you people. I'd love to say everything that's on my mind. But I'm restricted because I have a gag order. I think it's a disgrace. It's totally unconstitutional. I don't believe it's never, not to this extent, ever happened before. I'm not allowed to defend myself, and yet other people are allowed to say whatever they want about me. Very, very unfair.
I think he's 100% right. And this case is a sham. I hope we have actual discerning jurors that have been seated and that they will see that this is a sham. Because can you imagine the reaction if they're unable to get a conviction and potentially the only case that they're going to be able to take to trial before the actual election itself on November 5th? MyPillow, big sale going on. We'll talk about this with Andy McCarthy when he comes back with us here in about 7 minutes. $25 extravaganza sale underway, and if you've been waiting to buy one or more MyPillow products, now's the time. Deep discounts all over the place. You can take advantage of the sale price on the Giza Dream Sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, even the dog beds, each one manufactured for comfort. Everything they manufacture found at MyPillow.com. Latest sale, the one they're calling the $25 extravaganza sale. Great opportunity to find the best deals on the site. Take advantage of the sale right now. Use our names, Clay and Buck, as the promo code. You'll find items like the MyPillow made with the all-new Giza fabric for just $25 each, or the all-new two-pack multi-use MyPillow, just $25 on the six-piece towel set. Same price, $25. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square for the $25 deal. Free shipping on orders over $75. Use the promo code Clay and Buck. Andy McCarthy joins us now from Chicago. If I remember correctly, his son is a catcher for the University of Chicago. They are playing right now up at the White Sox field. That is pretty awesome. I'm sure that was fun to watch as a dad. Congrats, Andy. Let's dive into this chaos. New York Times publishes an editorial. I don't know if you've had time to see it. Basically saying the entire concept of this Trump trial is garbage. Credit to the New York Times editorial page for publishing it. It's a Boston University professor in the law school there who wrote it. Has anything that you have seen in the first 2.5 days, 3 days of the trial changed your mind about the legitimacy of this case? And if so, or is it even more convinced you that it's garbage?
Yeah, it's more convinced me it's garbage, Clay. And you know, I think now that we're looking at it really closely, I'm not saying I hadn't looked at it closely by now, but like the insidiousness of this was not as apparent as it's become. To put it in a nutshell for people, you're supposed to, if you indict somebody, the charges have to be in the indictment. That's a constitutional requirement of the Fifth Amendment. What Bragg indicted Trump for was falsification of business records with criminal intent. At the same time he filed the indictment, he filed his own statement of facts, or what he purports to be facts. Now, that in and of itself is peculiar, because usually what prosecutors and grand juries do is, in the indictment itself, the grand jury alleges the narrative in which the various criminal offenses are alleged to have taken place. That's not what Bragg did here. He had the grand jury return a bare-bones indictment, essentially just stating the statutory offense without any color or description. Then he files his own statement, which is not the grand jury statement, in which he says the crime is that Trump conspired, or actually he uses the word schemed to steal the 2016 election by suppressing politically damaging information, which is not what the grand jury says. Then they get to trial and the ante gets up. So now they're not using the word scheme, they're using the word conspiracy. And the problem with this is, aside from the fact that it's not in the indictment, there's no such crime as conspiracy to steal an election or conspiracy to suppress politically damaging information. A conspiracy is an agreement by two or more people to commit a statutory crime, like bank robbery or murder or the like. There is no crime, and Trump isn't charged with it in the indictment. So the whole thing is just ridiculous from Jump Street.
Andy, who can, in the system, do something about this? Like, what are the ways in which someone on appeal or on some kind of an emergency motion, like, how can this crazy train be stopped?
The only thing I could think of, Buck, would be, and I don't think this would work, like an emergency application to federal court saying that Trump's constitutional rights are being violated. And I think what the federal court would probably say is, we're not going to intervene at this point. We'll wait to see what happens in the case, because if he gets acquitted, there'll be no reason to do anything. And if he gets convicted, he'll have his full array of, you know, appellate rights. Plus, that court hasn't been friendly to him anyhow. So I'm not sure they'd be tripping over themselves to intervene here. But they really should, because what's happening here is pretty outrageous. I mean, the other thing to note is that the way that Bragg inflated this misdemeanor falsification of business records, on which the statute of limitations would have run in 2019, because the crimes, the alleged crimes, were in 2017. The way he does it is he says that the falsification of records was done to conceal or commit another crime. And it turns out the crime, which he apparently hid this from the grand jury too, the crime he's talking about is federal campaign finance violations. And I think one of the things we haven't noticed, but we should start noticing, is that this is a clear episode. Well, it's not clear, but it's an episode of collusion between the Biden administration, the Biden Justice Department, and Bragg. And the reason I say that is, you know, it's easy enough when we're talking about Jack Smith to see that there's a relationship between the special counsel, the Biden Justice Department, and Biden. You know, Jack Smith exercises Biden's executive power, and he answers to Merrick Garland. So that's easy enough to see. But here, it's a state prosecution, so it's not easy to see. But the fact is, if you look at the Justice Department guidelines and the Federal Election Commission guidelines, what they say is that those two agencies are the exclusive authorities in law for enforcing federal campaign finance law in connections with elections for federal office. So if anyone else other than Trump were the person in the trick bag here, and a local prosecutor somewhere in the United States tried to enforce federal campaign law, the Justice Department and the FEC would ordinarily go crazy. They would not tolerate it. They'd be in court trying to stop it. It just wouldn't happen. But here, they haven't made a peep. And the only reason that makes sense that they haven't made a peep is that it's Trump.
I also think this ties in, and you'll be able to explain this better than I could. We talked earlier this week about the prosecutor who made the opening case, Matthew Colangelo. He had risen to third overall in the Department of Justice. I think we talked about this with Kash Patel Monday, maybe, or Tuesday on the show. You were a prosecutor. Have you ever seen somebody from this high in the Department of Justice leave the Department of Justice to prosecute a state crime? The analogy I made, you're at a ballpark up there in Chicago, would be this is a little bit like somebody who's in the major leagues going back down to single A or double A ball. If you have the political power that you would that high up in the Department of Justice over all federal charges to go and then do a state prosecution, it's kind of unheard of, right? Which to me is evidence of how enmeshed the Biden administration really is, even in this Alvin Bragg case.
Yeah, it's highly unusual. Now, to be fair, a couple of things. I don't know what Colangelo's status was there. Like, I don't know if he thought that they had their eyes on moving him out and moving somebody else in. And sometimes when people have political ambitions rather than just prosecutorial ambitions, a seemingly lateral move or even a move down can be something that helps your political career. So, for example, Rudy Giuliani was the number three guy in the Reagan Justice Department, but he asked instead to become the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York. And even though a lot of people in Washington may have thought that was a crazy move, for someone who was politically ambitious and wanted to be mayor of New York, it made perfect sense. And he became a much more famous and effective figure as the U.S. attorney in New York than he would have been as the number three guy in Reagan's Justice Department. So there's a lot that goes into it. But to leave a position like that to try a single case would be highly, highly unusual, although you and I both know that, you know, whatever Democratic prosecutor nails Trump is going to be, you know, he's going to be an icon for these guys.
So, Andy, this brings us back to where this is all heading, it seems, right now, and also the gag order. Can you tell us about how you're viewing that component of it? Because there's been a lot of back and forth between Trump already and the judge, and they're saying, oh, you know, he's saying things about witnesses he's not allowed to say. It just feels like what are the limits of this gag order? Can you just weigh in on that component?
Yeah, well, I've had a big problem with the gag orders from the beginning, Buck, not just this one, but also the one Judge Chutkan issued in Washington. And the reason is, I think these arrogant judges, and these are the Democratic judges, I don't think Aileen Cannon has done this down in Florida, but I think these arrogant judges won't accept the fact that in this system, every right and every duty has to coexist with other rights and duties with which it's intentioned. And sometimes, even though the administration of justice in a case is a very important public interest, there are higher public interests than that. So robust political debate in connection with an election for the highest office in the country is a high constitutional interest. Trump has a constitutional right to run for the presidency. So even if in a normal case, you would crack down on what parties could say for fear of influencing the jury pool or intimidating witnesses or what have you, here, the interest in the administration of justice has to yield to some extent to these other more important interests. And these judges won't do it. And the fact that they keep saying the administration of justice has to be exalted over all, otherwise Trump is, you know, somehow above the law, is ridiculous. If they were that interested in the administration of justice, they could put the trials off until after the campaign is over. And then nobody could argue that the administration of justice was the higher interest at that point. But they won't do that, of course, because the prosecutors, who they're working in cahoots with, it seems, want these trials to take place prior to the election. So it's like they create the crisis that puts the administration of justice in tension with these other more important constitutional issues. And then they say, you know, Trump is the one who has to yield, as if like a court doesn't have to ever bend to some more important interest. So that's what's happening here. And I actually think, given that Trump is running for president, which he's entitled to do, and giving the public interest in robust debate in a presidential campaign, Trump should not be gagged except to the extent that the law already essentially limits what people can say. So, for example, if Trump makes a comment that amounts to incitement or obstruction of justice, he can be prosecuted for that. If he says something that defames someone, he can be sued for that. If he says something that helps the prosecutor's case, they can use it against him in the trial. So he's got a lot of incentives not to say stupid things, and there's a lot of downside for him in saying stupid things, but he shouldn't be gagged ahead of time and told what he can say and what he can't say under circumstances where every witness is allowed to talk about him and every political candidate, including Biden, can say whatever they want about the lawfare against Trump, and he's not allowed to respond. That's crazy.
Last question for you here, Andy. You've picked a lot of juries over your life and been involved in jury selection. I know you haven't sat for jury selection, but based on what you have seen, Buck and I both say there's a 0% chance of a not guilty verdict. I bet you would likely say that as well. Do you feel like Trump has any reason for optimism based on the jury was selected that there might be someone or maybe more than one person who are willing to consider a not guilty verdict? Any read from you on this jury?
Yeah, I'd say two things about that, Clay. One is some of that gets evened out. I agree that Manhattan is not great for Trump, to say the least. On the other hand, you know, I wouldn't read too much into Manhattan by the fact that they elect Alvin Bragg as their DA. The people who vote in those elections are, you know, it's tiny compared to what the jury pool is. And I think there's a lot of people in the jury pool who would be sympathetic to Trump. And statistically, what the advantage Trump gets, aside from not having to prove anything, is that he only needs one juror to get a mistrial, whereas Bragg needs all 12 to convict. And the one other thing I would say about it is I think under New York law, Trump is entitled to a lesser included offense instruction, which means he should be able to get the court to instruct the jury that they could find him guilty of the misdemeanor business record.
Sort of a compromise verdict is an option, in other words. It's not either or.
Yes, but here, if they were to convict him of that, the statute of limitations ran on that in 2019, so the case would have to get thrown out.
Oh, wow. That's a great point.
Very interesting. Andy, we're going to need you to stick around. I know you got baseball with the son and fun things to do in life, but, you know, it's going to be a long, what have we got, 6-7 months here. So thank you for being with us, Andy McCarthy, and go check out his latest at nationalreview.com, everybody. Thanks, Andy.
All right, guys.
Thanks very much. You know, the work at the Preborn Network of Clinics is so admirable. The dedicated men and women involved are saving the lives of tiny babies every day. They do that by giving an ultrasound experience to pregnant women who are deciding between life and abortion for their unborn baby. They offer this ultrasound so that the mom can meet her unborn child. And that's just one of many resources, though, that pregnant mothers can count on at the Preborn Centers. Maternity clothes, diapers, baby care items, all are available for those who need it. But it's that ultrasound experience that so often is the decision point for mom to give life to her baby. Because when mom hears that precious heartbeat and sees the baby's movements, the choice so often is made for life. An ultrasound is just $28. Any amount you can donate will help, and all gifts are tax deductible. To donate securely, dial #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, say baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK, sponsored by Preborn.
Whoa.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay.
Closing up shop here on Clay and Buck. Only got about a minute or two. Wanted to run through some quick things for you. The Senate on track to pass $95 billion of foreign aid this week after all the delays in the back and forth. $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, $8 billion for the Indo-Pacific. We do not have $95 billion to hand out to foreign countries. I'm sorry to say, I don't know how much longer we think we're going to be able to continue with this absurdity when we're $34 trillion in debt as a country, but it's basically a $100 billion supplemental or additional foreign aid package. $26 billion for Israel is a massive number. I'm very supportive of Israel's fight against Hamas. I do not agree with the U.S. taxpayers being on the hook for $26 billion of it, though. Israel is not a poor country. It is a wealthy country. Ukraine, we're funding that war to what end? How long are we going to continue to pay the bills of a losing battle effectively over time in Ukraine? And then Indo-Pacific, it's like, yeah, Taiwan, I guess. We're giving them some money. Anyway, it's a little bit frustrating there, Clay, but maybe we'll return to this issue tomorrow and see if we can dive into those numbers some more. On a happy note, I'm just drinking some Crockett coffee from CrockettCoffee.com. Which is delicious, and I highly recommend you all do the same. And subscribe, please. America's
no doubt.
Delicious coffee.
CrockettCoffee.com. Tomorrow, I want to ask you that question to kind of put a pin in this.
What is the end result that we are hoping for in Ukraine right now? Because it feels to me like basically we've got a stalemate where we've got both sides locked in. Best case scenario, Russia gets 20% of Ukraine. What am I missing here? It ain't good. Tomorrow, Wednesday edition, we'll hang with y'all. Thanks for hanging with us now.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.